Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is an extra episode of Paranormal Encounters. This episode, I'm talking about shared death experiences. Shared death experiences exist in the lived space between people, between bodies, minds, and something else that many witnesses struggle to name. A shared death experience occurs when a living person reports perceiving elements of the dying process alongside someone who is dying. Visions, sensations, environments, presences, or transitions that mirror classic near-death experiences, but without the observer themselves being clinically dead or unconscious. These experiences are not solitary, they are relational, co-witnessed moments. What makes shared death experiences so powerful is not simply their content, but their consistency across cultures, time periods, belief systems, and personal worldviews. People who report them often have no spiritual expectation of such events. Some are religious, some secular, some skeptical, and some are indifferent. Yet the language they use is strikingly similar. Light, presence, peace, transition, and a sense of boundary dissolving. These are not vague metaphors. They're described as lived perceptions. Many witnesses emphasize that the experience felt more real than ordinary consciousness, more vivid than imagination, and emotionally transformative in a way that memory alone cannot explain. One of the most haunting and historically distant accounts comes from Karl Skala, a soldier in World War I. Skala's experience did not occur in a hospital room or a quiet deathbed, but in the chaos and brutality of trench warfare. He described being with a fellow soldier who had been mortally wounded. As the man lay dying, Skala reported seeing something that did not belong to the battlefield. He perceived a luminous presence, a kind of opening or transition that seemed to surround the dying man. He did not interpret it as a hallucination caused by shock or fear. Instead, he experienced it as a shared perception, something unfolding in the space between them. The dying soldier appeared calm, almost detached from his injuries, and Skala felt an overwhelming sense that something was happening that transcended the physical scene of war. This was not framed as religious doctrine, but as direct experience, something witnessed. In the middle of mud, blood, and chaos, there was stillness, light, and meaning. That contrast is what makes Skala's account so powerful. It suggests that shared death experiences are not dependent on peaceful settings or spiritual atmospheres. They occur in the most brutal human environments as well. Across time, similar accounts appear in families, hospitals, hospice rooms, and disaster sites. Nurses frequently report shared experience with patients at the moment of death. Some describe feeling a presence leave the room, others seeing light phenomena, others sensing a shift in the environment that feels tangible rather than symbolic. Family members sometimes describe seeing deceased relatives appear in the room with the dying person, even when they had no prior knowledge of those relatives. In some cases, multiple people in the room report the same perception independently, using similar language. These moments often include a sense of peace that contradicts the fear one might expect in the face of death. There is often calm rather than panic, clarity rather than confusion. A well-known first-hand example comes from Lisa Jones, who has openly spoken about her own shared death experience during the passing of her husband from cancer. According to Lisa's testimony, on the night her husband died, she was asleep in another room and left her physical body in some sort of awareness or altered state while her husband was in their bedroom. In her experience, she recalls entering what she described as a radiant, loving realm, a place she refers to as heaven, surrounded by unconditional love and beings of light. She perceived souls gathering in a kind of open spiritual space, and although she was not dying herself, she felt deeply connected to her husband's transition at that moment. Afterward, This experience reportedly opened up what she described as her intuitive and mediumistic abilities, dramatically changing her life direction and beliefs about death and consciousness. What's particularly striking about this account is that Lisa was not near death or physically impaired herself at the time. She was in another room, in ordinary health. Yet she reported leaving her body and entering into another realm coinciding precisely with her husband's death. She emphasizes that the experience felt more real than ordinary reality, profoundly comforting and transformative. One of the most emotionally striking aspects of shared death experiences is the sense of invitation. Witnesses sometimes describe feeling as though they were being pulled or drawn toward the same transition the dying person was entering, only to feel a boundary that they could not cross. This boundary is often described as a line, a veil, a threshold, or a presence that gently but firmly stops them. The language is not violent or frightening. It is protective and compassionate and purposeful. The living person remains, the dying person continues. The separation feels meaningful rather than traumatic. In hospice environments, shared death experiences often include perceptions of light filling the room, changes in temperature, or a feeling of an expansion that witnesses struggle to describe. Some report hearing music or voices that are not physically present. Others describe sudden emotional clarity, forgiveness, or peace that does not feel generated by their own thought. These experiences are frequently followed by deep psychological changes in the witnesses, reduced fear of death, increased sense of connection to others, and a lasting sense that consciousness is not limited to the body alone. What makes these accounts compelling is not their dramatic imagery, but their quiet emotional consistency. People rarely describe chaos. They describe order, calmness, and clarity. When grief is present, it is layered with something else, something steady and grounded that feels larger than personal loss. This emotional signature appears again and again, regardless of cultural belief. There are also documented cases where children report shared death experiences without cultural framing or religious language. Young children have described seeing light, people, or places during the death of a relative without having prior concepts of heaven, angels, or afterlife narratives. Their descriptions are simple, direct, and sensory rather than symbolic. This matters because it removes learned belief structures as the source of interpretation and points instead towards direct perception. Carl Scala's story remains significant because it occurred in a context of extreme trauma and danger, where psychological explanations would normally dominate interpretation. Yet even in that setting, the experience was not chaotic or fragmented. It was coherent and structured. It did not feel like shock-induced hallucination. It felt like participation in a process larger than himself. That pattern appears again and again in modern accounts. Shared death experiences challenge the idea that consciousness is sealed inside individual bodies. They suggest, at minimum, that human awareness may be more relational and interconnected than modern material models allow. They also challenge the assumption that death is a purely individual event. In these accounts, death is not something that happens only to the dying person. It is something that unfolds in a shared field of experience, affecting those present in ways that feel immediate and direct. Shared death experiences also reshape grief. Many witnesses report that their grief is still present but altered, is softer, less terrifying, less absolute. Death no longer feels like annihilation. It feels like transition. Loss still hurts, but it does not feel meaningless. There is a sense that something continues, even if its form cannot be fully understood. In this sense, shared death restructures how people understand life, death, connection, and identity. They do not erase pain, but they change its shape. They do not remove loss, but they change its meaning. From Carl Scala's battlefield vision to hospice room quietude, from children's simple descriptions to nurses' repeated testimonies, the phenomenon shows remarkable coherence across radically different environments. Today I was talking about shared death experiences. And if you want to hear the extended version of the Our Paranormal Afterlife episodes, you can join Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/Our Paranormal Afterlife. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.